all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
Some are not here, and what I want to share, Lord willing, does really incorporate as many as possible the body itself, because it is a very important teaching. And I became more impressed over the last 10 minutes that the Lord wanted me to divert and change, and possibly for that reason. So I don't try and question any of this. I simply do what I believe is revealed and shown me. Praise God. But I want to talk today on faith. And the title for this teaching is, It's His Faith We Believe By. It's His Faith We Believe By. And I'm convinced that that is why our Lord at times came hard on the disciples. I believe that this title tells us why, that he sometimes chased them and chastised them, the same as he does with us, because our faith to believe is a gift. It's not us trying to work it up. It's not us trying to believe. It's not us finding out why it is that I don't have faith. We could go on with this. And the very reason is because the faith that he gives us to believe by is a gift. And it comes to those who search with all their heart. Because Jesus said, if you do that, you will find me. And we find that people say, well, I can't believe, or, you know, they come up with the various excuses. They can believe. You believe because it is there to be found. That gift is for all. But you cannot receive a gift if you make excuses. Or you try to cover up things. You see, man is so good at doing that. What sadly the fall has done is he becomes his own God. He becomes his own destiny with regard to where sin is concerned, because all he's doing there is choosing which way to sin. And so within that plight, he makes all the excuses under the sun, which we call pride. Something within us searched and searched until we found the answer. And the answer is always in Jesus Christ, God's gift to mankind. And so he takes the initiative, because without faith, indeed, you cannot be saved. Without faith, you cannot embrace the promises of God. Without faith, we won't even be here today having a meeting together like this. It just doesn't happen. And that is why he expects much from our faith. And that is why he says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. He regards unbelief as sin. And you have to get it cleansed and washed under the blood of the Lamb. And this is why he so often brings up and reminds us of this gift that he has given us that we are to use to exercise for his glory. The faith is always there for every trial, for every situation. The problem is, as we know, we get in the way. And that is why the deeper life teaching in nature is deliverance. It is delivering all the obstacles, the hindrances to our faith. That is why when we embraced, we came into the deeper life teaching in those early days, it was constantly about faith, about believing, about embracing the promises of God. That is where we were spiritually at that time, and that is where God met us. And whatever people say about Brother Freeman, God used that man to get our attention. God used that man to expose such terrible unbelief in the churches, of which we were a part of it. And that was all for a reason, to start to put in motion deliverance, to get us to turn away from our self, from our own reliance, us being in control, to abandon all of that, to let go, to totally trust God, which indeed he is still working. And he is working today, he is working now, this very moment. We are all of us still a work in progress. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Remember, our teaching today is it's his faith we believe by. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, for he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Or by his faithfulness. And here is where we get the idea that we live by his faith. It's his faith we believe by. And so whatever the conditions, whatever we find ourselves in, and we find ourselves waiting, tarrying for the vision to come to pass, faith will do that. Faith rests. Faith doesn't question God's sovereignty and what he is doing. Faith is so reliant on the fact that God never, ever gets it wrong. Even though it may look so peculiar, so strange, so ridiculous, so different to what my eyes, my feelings, my emotions, my senses say. That is the faith he's bringing you and I into, brothers and sisters. How often do we read or hear the news? And we wonder, where is God? How long will these things go on? How long will they rebel? How long will man bring abominations day by day before the throne of grace? Will he do something? Why is it that it seems that evil prospers? And here I am. I go through what I go through. And out in the world, they don't give a damn. They're out there enjoying themselves as though they have no cares in the world. And my life is separated, devoted unto God. And I look a joke and they laugh at me. Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. Our Lord went through it as well. It's interesting that the name for Habakkuk means to embrace or to wrestle. And this is what he's doing. How long, Lord? How long will Israel abandon you? How long will she follow after other gods? When are you going to vindicate? When are you going to reveal yourself, your glory? And I think many, many Christians are feeling this as we're seeing the world rapidly falling away. The book in itself reveals this struggle, this worry, until he eventually, in a sense, lets go and he turns his heart to worship. But it's all about God's faith or God's faithfulness. And that is the question. God has bound himself to you in covenant through Jesus Christ to be faithful to you. And a covenant, as we know, requires two people to agree. And you agree that you will be faithful to him. And so the two can unite and become one, just like in the marriage between a man and a woman. And that is what God is doing as the man-child is developing and maturing and growing. He's working within us to be faithful to him and to each other and the church that we are baptized into. And even though it tarries, and much of it does, he will be faithful. And Habakkuk is saying this precisely here. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So you see, the vision, though it tarries, what he's saying is, write, make it plain on tablets. Well, what are those tablets now? They're your heart. And he's writing it upon your heart, your very being. And as a result of that, even though it tarries, that you may run who reads it. In other words, it's keeping you moving forward, even though it's tarrying. It's having the opposite effect of what delay does. You see, the enemy knows the power of delay, and he knows how to make a Christian despondent, depressed, inactive. But the Lord says here, it's tarrying, but I'm going to show you that I am faithful. I'm going to show you that you live by that faithfulness, that faith that I've given to you. And as a result of it, whatever the conditions may be, you will move, you will run. Because the vision is yet for an appointed time. And so it means that we are moving toward the vision. And in doing so, God is preparing us for that very vision, that very revelation, the revealing of himself. That is what this is about here. And this is why we hold to the deeper life. This is why we've seen much over the years, how God is preserving a remnant in these last days. How he's shown that FGA and other churches who are going on with God is like an ark. Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 24, that the days would be like Noah. And the ark saved Noah and his family. And the faithfulness, the faith of God that's been given to us as a gift, is also going to save us, and that we are found in that spiritual ark. And that door is open at present to that spiritual ark. And the doorway always speaks of going through Christ. He is the door. But you need a vision. You need a vision to build. You need a vision, that vision to keep you active, moving, running forward when a lot are becoming despondent because they've lost sight of this vision. They've started to question, to criticize, to find fault. Does that sound familiar? This is why some of our brothers and sisters that embrace this walk no longer do. And they've now become critical. Here is a classic example. They're no longer spiritually moving, running forward. They think they are. That's the devil's deception and lie. And all they can do in being active is just go to different churches and find if they can get on better there. And the social life and the gathering is better. That's the usual thing. But the thing is, they take it with them wherever they go. Because they want to be entertained. They don't want to mature and grow up and allow the Spirit to make us as pillars in the temple of God. There's so much that God has revealed and invested with regard to the deeper life teaching. A lot of it, we could say, well, I don't see an awful lot that's manifested from all of this. But we've learnt, haven't we, brothers and sisters, that everything God does and his blessings that are behind it always look negative, always look ridiculous outwardly. And we've learnt that. We're being trained by that. It doesn't matter what they say, what they think, or what they think of me. Because it's not me they're coming against. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we know that some of the hardest trials we find as overcomers that come right out of our family, who think us odd, strange, who try to get us to compromise in our faith, our walk, our consecration. Jesus said it comes right out of your household. And where does the sword fall? You got it. Jesus said, right in the family. That is where he divides. And he has to divide in order that you live by his faith. That gift that he gives us. That faith that sees that the world doesn't see. Did you know that there is a vision, a spiritual seeing with faith? All the saints of old, under the old covenant, saw the promised land afar off. They saw the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that there would come a redeemer one day. Faith was showing them that. They saw afar off, and they didn't give up. And that is why, of course, we have the wonderful story of faithful Abraham, where God tested him to the ultimate of faith, that he was willing to offer up his son, his heir, the promise. And as a result, God said, if man can do that, then how much more can I give up my only son as an offering to the world? These are the visions of faith, the walk of faith. It's profound. It is so great. It's so powerful. And this is what is happening here with Habakkuk. Though it's daring, wait for it. You see, the nation of Judah was repeatedly called to repentance, but the nation stubbornly refuses here. And because of our refusal to repentance, she moves further and further into her sinful ways. The hardness of heart. The country has become Babylonian. And God has to use Babylon now as a chastening rod upon this nation, to bring them back, that they walk by faith. You see, this is what happens. And this is why, sadly, when we find our brothers and sisters who once embraced this walk, who go away, God, in his mercy, has to allow a chastening rod upon them. And this is why some of them, sadly, are not even with us now, who have died premature lives when they shouldn't have. You see, God's correction over us and over the nations never changes. It's still there. We see the chastisement of God still today over the nations. But the nations are so blind that they can't see it. Or they blame it on global warming, or they blame it on various things or whatever it is, but they don't have that spiritual insight to see that it's God releasing the brakes on society. God has had enough. Because the world nations are rejecting God, he's now abandoning. And he does this. You see it through the word of God, and you see what happens as a result. And it's fearful. The difference, of course, today is it's on a global stage. Globally, we're seeing the spiritual falling away. Fundamentally, man is becoming animalistic. He's becoming creaturely, losing all sight of morals, of standing, love, respect, all of those things that are God-given in societies, is going. But I don't want to give too much on that, because that's for next time, for the teaching that I want to going to much more. But we're speaking here today about faith. It's his faith we believe by. We're speaking today that faith is a gift given to us in which to believe and even believe the impossible. And this is why Jesus at times came hard upon those who revealed unbelief. And rightly so, when it is a gift given to us. Because in many ways, when we don't believe or we harden our heart, we're throwing back that gift that he gives to us. That is why I'm opposed to the teaching of once saved, always saved. Because you can throw away a gift. You have a free will. But of course, all of these things that I'm talking about never take God by surprise. That's the whole thing. God knows from the foundation of the world. And so when we get an insight and when we're touched by all of this, we find our hearts crying out to the Lord, Lord, whatever obstacles are in the way of my faith, and you know all things, remove them. Help thou my unbelief. And a father who loves his son or daughter will never turn his ears away from those who cry sincerely unto him. You wouldn't do it to your own children. So how much more would our Heavenly Father? And so he does this. He starts this process of beginning to remove the hindrances to our faith. And sometimes it looks as though God is against me, or he's abandoned me, or he doesn't love me anymore. It's not at all. It's just that he's working, removing the hindrances to your faith. And what is happening is that you're just seeing all the yuck, all the filth, all the grime coming to the surface as he turns the heat up 7 times hotter, as we know, to purify, because that's the way it can only be done. But you see, we've learnt enough that faith is faithful, that faith stays in, holds on, because although the vision tarries, it's only for an appointed time. And whatever is happening in my life at the moment, I still continue to move forward by his grace and mercy. And some of you may say, well, I don't know that I'm always moving forward. I don't feel as though I am, or whatever it is. Well, if you've gone through a real trial, if this week's been difficult, if God has been removing hindrances to your faith, and it seems as though he's abandoned you, well, let me encourage you. The very fact that you've come today into the room to hear God's word is a sign you're moving forward. Your faith, my faith, has brought me here today. Because without that, I would not be here. I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. And nor would you. So we see these glimmers of light, even when the darkness seems so thick around us that we can't see anything. Because the just live by faith. They live by his faithfulness. And this idea of faithfulness, it means a firmness. It means to be steadfast, strong, stability. Because everything stems from faithfulness. Your life, You're changing. Everything that Christ is doing in and through you stems from being faithful, staying with it. That is why the mercy of God brought back the disciples when they forsook him, when Jesus went to Calvary. He had to teach them faithfulness. They hadn't proved themselves faithful up until that point. But God knew their hearts. There's the mercy and grace of God. But he had to teach them. He had to work with them because he knew he was going to come back through the Holy Spirit to now live in their lives and work in a much deep and intimate way, circumcising now the heart. That's why he drew them back. For that very purpose, to build in them faithfulness, which the disciples were, the apostles were. And it does the same with you and I. And very often, fear has to be removed from our faith. We have seen all the blessings of faith. I think of Psalm 91. We've all read that many, many times. Taken verses, we confess them, write them out. Everything is there to live in this life, to be found in Psalm 91. But to experience all of that, he also has to remove those fears. Because fear always causes us to compromise. And fear, in its nature, has a way of burying itself deep within man. You see, fear is probably outwardly in the natural the hardest oppression to be delivered from, because its very nature is that it hides, it buries itself, it intertwines in the makeup, the nature, the character of man. It's Satan's problem because he fears God. And so it requires the Spirit of God to search deep through his word, which he does, dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joints and marrow, and so on. What is all of that? What is it signifying? What is it meaning when the word does this? It's rooting out those areas of fear. And a lot of fear comes through your parents and their parents and their parents. And so you see aspects of fear that can work through families that you don't quite see in another family, because it's transmitted through the third and fourth generation. For example, if you've got a mother or father, say, who's paranoid, fearful about, say, spiders, and a lot of people are, you can be well assured their children or one of the children will have it also. It's passed on. You catch it. It's almost like you catch fear. It's like a disease. Fear can be generated in society. Fear can suddenly be generated when you've got a gathering of people and suddenly they say, oh, there's a fire. What manifests immediately? Fear. It's so powerful. That's why the enemy uses it. And that is the very thing that God is delivering you and I from. The fear of what if. We don't take steps of faith. We don't always obey God as he's telling us what he's requiring of us to, because if I do, what will happen? Fear. Sadly, the closest person you live with can minister that fear to you. That's the subtlety of how fear works. And God is going to work and work and work on this. And he's going to do this through your faithfulness as you stay with it, to root out all these fears, so that we can walk by faith, by the faithfulness of God. In other words, you are coming to a place where you walk by faith because it is his faith in you, which is the hope of glory. It is not me trying to believe. It is not me trying to have faith. I have faith because his faith is in me. It is a gift. He gave it to me. My problem is I don't always believe it. And that's why on the other side of the coin, faith is so simple. It is a childlike faith. And that is what our Lord was always trying to reveal and stress to the people. In other words, God is saying, healing, deliverance, that isn't a problem. It's easy. It's easy to get healed. It's easy to get delivered. Where faith is really needed is to be faithful, to believe, to stay with it to the end, and that you live by his faithfulness. That's what he's working with us, brothers and sisters. Embracing the promises of God doesn't require a huge amount of faith. That's why Jesus said just a mustard seed of faith. But the ultimate test and goal of our faith is that we are revealed as the sons of God in the last days. That the world will see, as we rule and reign with Christ, they believed to the end. They had the vision that pleased the Father's heart, that we as the bride make ourselves ready for the marriage. As Abraham was brought to the ultimate of his faith, offering up Isaac, his only son, so the ultimate of our faith is that we remain faithful to the end and be that bride who marries the bridegroom, who has matured and come to full stature, manhood, man-child, so that you now can have that authority given to you to rule and reign as well with Christ. You have to grow into that. You have to believe for that. You have to see that. You remain faithful for that. I can't give anything greater in this life than that vision, what I've just given to you. That is the goal. That is it. And I believe it's worth remaining in, even though it's tarrying. And it's tarrying for a reason, so that you and I will not be left out, but will be a part of it. And you will praise God why it's tarrying, because it gave me a chance. Amen. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've changed this to what I thought it was going to be. It just reveals how you are in control, how the Holy Spirit has his way. What a privilege. And I pray, Lord, that this word will speak to all. There will be that encouragement and that help. We know, Father, how vocal the enemy can get and how he tries to sidetrack us. How he tries to get us to be inward looking, and he's always trying to find fault with you, trying to get at you, that you are not faithful, that this is all just empty words, a lot of hot air. But Lord, you've spoken again, you've shown, and you've shown also why it tarries. It's tarrying so that all the sons of God can come to that place where we are ready for you. And that includes each of us, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your long suffering, your mercy, your patience. Thank you, Father, that you don't give up on us. You're ever working day and night with us, Lord, bringing us to that place. Oh, Father, help us not to question or to want to know why, but to rest in your faithfulness, because it is your faithfulness that lives in us. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. Bless, preserve and keep them. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Father, give them the words, the boldness. And Father, I thank you that you made our meeting today possible for your glory. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Seeing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Great reason.